wonderful this morning? Well, good morning, Moss Vale. I am so excited this morning. It's always an honour and a privilege to bring God's Word. But in particular this morning, it's the first time in 6 months that I'm not looking at a camcorder or a video recorder, that there's actually church in front of me, my brothers and sisters, and isn't it just wonderful? Praise God indeed. We know that there's a few people still joining us online, so we welcome you to church today. You are with us in spirit. We are here together doing church. I'm just going to have a little drink, and then we'll get started. So I've got a new clock, so we better just pray. Father, we are so grateful that we can come into this, your house, and we can worship you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for the freedom that we have to do that. Thank you for preparing the way for us today to be here. And as we open up your word now, we pray, Almighty God, that you would open up our hearts, our minds, our soul to hear from you this day. And may all glory be yours, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, last month, we returned from France. We were away visiting my father, my family out in France, and it was a lovely time just being able to spend time with the family. My dad lives in a very rural part of France. There's nothing but countryside and vineyards down by the Dordogne River, and it's just beautiful. And every year when we get there on the first day, my dad likes to take me out into his garden and we go for a walk in the garden. I think there's another sermon in that there, maybe for another day. And he likes to do that because he likes to show me his trees and his plants and his flowers and show me how they're getting on. You see, quite a lot of his trees actually produce fruit. So when I arrive, we get the little basket from the garage and we go for a walk and we pick the fruit off the trees and we have a good old blether with each other. And it's a lovely moment, a lovely time. So nothing was different this year. We got the little basket and we went out into the garden and we began to look for the fruit. Only I was really shocked and surprised, as this year the majority of his trees have produced no fruit. So there was no figs, there was no peaches, there's no apricots, and there was no grapes on the vine. And I was really surprised because every year we go, in fact, there's too much fruit. It's lying all over the ground and it's such a shame because there's all this fruit lying there. And I said to him, Dad, what's going on? Why is there no fruit on the trees? And he says, Debbie, it's been a bad year. It's been a bad season. And I immediately agreed because it has been a tough season. It's been a difficult season, and not just for his trees, but for all of us. Many of us have faced trials this year like never before. I've heard people say already that 2020 has been a bad year. And while I was away, I spent a lot of time in that garden because we didn't go out anywhere. And I spent a lot of time in that garden just walking through that garden, praying to God, my Father, and asking him to talk to me about the season in which we find ourselves in right now. And as I pondered all that's going on in our world right now, and as I prayed to God, the Lord took me back to the book of Habakkuk. Now, you'll remember back at the beginning of lockdown, I hope you remember, it was week 2 in March of our online services, Pastor Hugh actually preached from this very book, from chapter 1 and 2. And today I want us to return to the prophet's words, in particular in chapter 3. So we opened this book at the beginning of lockdown, and we've come out of lockdown, and we're going to open it back up again. So Habakkuk was one of the minor prophets in the Old Testament, a minor prophet. Now, church, I don't know how he felt about that. I don't know if he suffered with low self-esteem because of that. That was actually a joke. Note to self, work on your pastor jokes. Okay, so he was a prophet that lived 600 years before the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he was called as a prophet to the southern kingdom. The kingdom of Israel had been split into two kingdoms, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. The southern kingdom had been renamed Judah. the northern kingdom had kept the name Israel. And as with all of God's prophets, his role was to warn the people, direct the people, to lead the people and encourage the people. And nothing has changed. That's still the role of a prophet today. They would bring the word of God to the people, and the people would have a choice to respond to God through difficult times. They were called often during difficult times, in particular when God's people were turning their back on God and God's ways. You see, God had promised to bless Israel. Way back in the book of Deuteronomy, it tells us that if the people were to be faithful. However, there would be consequences if they turned their back on God. And that's exactly what happened. Israel had turned their back on God, and God had raised up the Assyrians. And that's exactly what happened here, because Judah followed in Israel's example. Only this time, it would be the Babylonians. And we heard about this when Pastor Hugh preached at the beginning of lockdown. And Habakkuk was distressed. He saw the fate of the nations. He grieved over the idolatry and the disobedience. However, not only was he distressed about what was going on, but he was distressed over God's inaction, his lack of intervention, allowing this suffering to take place. Why, God? Why is this happening, God? And we read about that in chapter 1. So let me just very quickly remind you of the verses of scripture that Pastor Hugh read to us back in March. This is Habakkuk's prayer. How long, God, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me. There's strife and conflict. Therefore, the law is paralyzed and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous so that justice is perverted. So here we have the prophet crying out to God. But it's not so much a conversation between the prophet and the people. This is more a conversation between the prophet and God. He begins this dialogue with God. He sees all this devastation and he begins to talk to God about it. And I love this book now. I have a newfound love for this book, Pastor Hugh, as we get to look in as the reader on this very intimate and honest conversation between the prophet and God. You know, Habakkuk's name actually means embrace. And we catch a glimpse of this in this book of him embracing God. You know, he's filled with pain and fear and anger, but he doesn't hold back from God how he's feeling, even his anger towards God the Father. And there's a lot, church, that we can learn from an intimate relationship with our Father God, from his relationship with God. The prophet's in turmoil. And he turned those raw emotions into honest prayers. What was he saying to God? He was saying, how long, God, must we suffer? When are you going to come through, God? Are you there, God? And I wonder if that's the season in which you find yourself in this morning. Perhaps you're at the end of yourself. We sung about that in that last song. Where are you, God? I need you, God. You know, someone recently said to me, in fact, it was when I was in France and we were discussing all that's going on in our world right now. And let's be honest, there is a lot going on in our world right now. And they said to me, I think God is on holiday. Tears filled my eyes. That weighed heavy on my heart, because let me tell you, church, God's not on holiday. God has promised us, he has promised us that he will never leave us or never will he abandon us. The Bible says that he never slumbers and he never sleeps. So therefore, God's not on holiday. God's not abandoned us. And if it's a bad season right now, God is right there, right in the middle of it with us, with you. in the dry season. And Habakkuk discovered that. He discovered that because he embraced God. He embraced God and he turned his doubt and his fear and his worries and his disappointment and Jesse's anger, and he shared it with God. And Pastor Hugh and I have spoke a lot this year about being open with God and telling him exactly how you're feeling. The prophet was honest. He was open. And God was faithful and he answered the prophet. Because he is faithful, okay. The response was not what he expected to hear, was it? No. God says, I'm going to do something huge and I'm going to raise up these Babylonians who are a cruel and violent people. So this is not the answer that he expected. It's not what he wanted to hear. And maybe you feel the same. Wait a minute, God. This is not what I expected. This is not what I prayed for. This is not what I hoped for. This is not what I longed for. However, God's ways, they are higher than our ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Isaiah, God's ways are higher, and quite often we don't know. We don't have a clue. Sometimes we catch a glimpse, but quite often we don't know what he's doing or why he's allowing certain things to happen or why you perceive that he's allowing certain things to happen. However, we can trust that in all things, not in some things, that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. He is working. So in the book, we see the wrestle between Habakkuk and God. He wrestles with his feelings, he wrestles with his questions, and we read all about that in chapter 1. And we see his response, which was to turn these raw emotions and these questions into prayer. And can I encourage you this morning that you do the same? Then in chapter 2, we see a new season, which is a period of watching and a period of waiting. So you've got the questioning God. And then when we get into chapter 2, we're watching and we're waiting on God. That's really important, the waiting on God. And he refers to himself, the prophet, at this stage as a watchman. I hope there are a few watchmen and women in here this morning. And he says, I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me. So here we see another aspect of an intimate relationship. And if you haven't guessed already, today's message is all about intimacy with the Father. You see, the prophet began with the tough questions, and now he's waiting and he's watching on God to respond. And it's a two-way relationship. You know, so often we come to God with our shopping list of prayers, but we need to stop and we need to pause and ponder and watch and wait. Psalm 130, verse 5. I will wait for the Lord. My soul does wait. It's your soul that's waiting on God. And in his words do I hope. Lamentations 3:25. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the person who seeks him. Amen. If you're hungry this morning, if you're hungry to deepen your relationship with the Father, to grow in intimacy with the Father, to go for a walk in the garden with your Father, can I encourage you this morning to work on that two-way relationship of developing a listening ear to heaven? All the way through this book, we see the prophet working on developing his closer relationship with God, his knowledge of God. And the more time you spend with God, the more you fall in love with him, the more you fall in love with his ways. For you see, his presence is more precious than any earthly blessing. To know the Father, to know him in such a real way, that, wait for it, you can be vulnerable. I said it, vulnerable honest, completely yourself, stripped back and bare, and know that you can bring your fears, and you can bring your doubts, and you can bring your worry, and you can even bring your anger, and He will not judge you, and He will not turn you away. He won't. It's a beautiful thing, and it's unlike any relationship that you will ever have in this world. And just look at how it changes things for the prophet. Just look at how his whole perspective changes. You see, by the time we get to the end of this book, chapter 3, there's only 3 chapters, there has been an incredible shift in the prophet's heart. I spoke at the beginning of lockdown a word that the God gave to the church, a word of reconstruction. That God was doing a reconstruction, not in our building, because our building is beautiful, but in our hearts. And we come to the end of this book and we see a man who began troubled, and we see a mighty shift in his heart. You could almost think that this book, this first 2 chapters and the 3rd chapter, was written by 2 different people, but it's not. It's the same prophet. But there's been a change in heart. I wonder, has lockdown, has the past 6 months, have you noticed a change in your heart? He came to God with these frustrations. He questioned, he waited on God, he spent time seeking Him, he developed his prayer life, and now he's no longer praying, "Why God, where are you God?" It's turned to one of praise and faith. And as he walked with God, and as I walked with God in the garden in France, God took me back to the words of this prophet. So the key text for today comes from chapter 3, verses 17 to 19. I'm going to read them now. "Even though the fig trees have no blossoms and there are no grapes on the vines, even though the olive crop fails and the fields lie barren and empty, even though the flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes me as sure-footed as a deer, able to tread upon the heights." Wow, these words. These are more than just words, church. This is an expression of faith. These are words that rose up out of the heart of a man who had spent time in the presence of God, developing his relationship with God. And this was his statement of faith. Right now, in the middle of all that you're going through, as you wait for test results, as you wait for a breakthrough, as you pray for an answer, it's time. It's time now that you stand up and start making some of your own faith statements. Start declaring over your own life that my God will never leave me, that my God is going to come through for me, that my God is in this with me. And no matter what happens, I'm going to praise Him. Right now, you see, Habakkuk had a vision in the middle of devastation when there was nothing around him that he could see with his earthly eyes that would bring him any hope. Nothing. Have you experienced that? You've looked around at the world that you live in. You turn on the news. You see nothing with your earthly eyes that will bring you any hope. You look at your own current circumstances. Nothing there to bring you any hope. Well, it was during a time when the prophet looked and saw nothing that would bring him any hope, he saw hope. I'll say that again. At a time where he looked around and with his earthly eyes saw nothing that would bring him any hope, he saw hope. He did. There was no fruit in the trees. There was no figs, there was no grapes. These were staple items in their diet. There was no cattle in the fields. There was nothing to sell, even if they wanted to. There was no provision. Nothing at all. No money coming in. There's no grapes. That means there's no wine. There's no wine. There's no clean liquid to drink. There's nothing to drink. Everything you need for daily living has gone. And maybe you felt like that this year when you couldn't get toilet paper and pasta or a Starbucks coffee. I know I grieved much over that. Or you walked down the high street and there was no shops open. Or perhaps on a more serious note, you were furloughed this year. You lost your job perhaps, or you've had to take a pay cut. Everything around you doesn't bring you hope. But are you ready to speak hope? Are you ready to see hope? Perhaps it's been a bad season for you this year. Perhaps it's a bad season that you find yourself in right now. Well, can I encourage you today? The seasons change. The seasons change. That it is but a season. Someone needs to hear that today. The seasons change. We serve the one who changes the season. In every season, we pray, we sang it earlier, or we hummed it under our masks. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 1. There is an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for every event under heaven. There's a time to plant and a time to harvest, verse 2. A time to cry and a time to laugh, verse 4. A time to grieve, and there's a time to dance. So if you find yourself in a dry season right now, can I encourage you this morning that the rain is coming? The harvest is coming, a new day is coming, for those who sow in tears will reap a harvest of joy. Psalm 126, a time is coming and the season will change. However, this is very important. You see, it's what we do while we wait for the season to change that is incredibly important. It's what we do while we wait that will bring transformation for our souls. And this is evident, isn't it, in the faith statement that is made by the prophet. Even though there's no fruit on the trees, even though there's no crops, what am I going to do? I'm going to praise you. I'm going to praise you. And this morning, can I encourage you to make your own declaration of faith? Something that goes like this. Even though it's not over, God, I'm going to praise you. Even though the bank balance is zero, God, I'm going to praise you. Even though I don't see an end to this yet, God, I'm going to praise you. Even though it hurts, God, I'm going to praise you. Even though you haven't answered my prayer yet, God, I'm going to praise you. Even though, God, I can't take any more, I am going to praise you. Even though, I'm going to praise you. Even though there is nothing that brings me any hope, right now I am going to sing praise to the God of my salvation. That's what we do, church. That's what we do in a dry season when we're waiting on God. That's what makes all the difference. I will praise you, Lord, because I trust in you, God. I will praise you, Lord, because I believe that your ways are higher than my ways. I will praise you, God, because I believe that you're working in my waiting. I will praise you, God, even though the answer's not what I expected or it's not what I'd hoped for. I will praise you, God, because I trust you, God. And I believe that this season is going to come to an end and there is going to be a breakthrough and the rain's going to come and we're going to lift up our eyes and we're going to see a harvest. Even though I can't sing in church right now, my heart's going to praise you, God. Habakkuk developed an up-close and personal relationship with God, an intimate, honest relationship with God, and he discovered that his strength was not found in eating the figs. As lovely as they are, one of my favorites, but it's not found in that. His strength was found in God. And your strength, it's not going to be found in quick fixes. Verse 19, the sovereign God is my strength. He chose to trust in God, that God was his strength. Today, do you know that God is your strength? He chose, and Pastor Hugh's going to love this one, he chose joy. Yeah. Verse 18, to be joyful in the God of his salvation. I wonder, do you know the God of your salvation? Do you know the joy that comes through knowing the God of your salvation? Raise your hand if you know that joy. Do you know the joy of the God of our relationship, knowing the God of your salvation? Amen. That joy that comes through knowing God, God the Father, a loving God that loved you so much that he believed you were worth dying for. That he gave the most precious thing that he had, his son, his precious son, and he allowed his son to die for you, to die for your sin, so that you could begin that intimate, up close and honest relationship with God. That's how we begin a relationship with God. Can I encourage you, if you haven't taken that step of faith, don't leave here today without giving your heart to Jesus and beginning a relationship with God the Father. So here we have a book that we opened up at the beginning of lockdown. A book about a prophet who looked around at the world in which he found himself in, and he was overwhelmed. And he was saddened of everything that he saw, and he was angry with God. And I wonder, is that how you feel today? Is that how you feel about your own personal circumstances? What can we learn from this book? Well, for me, I see a journey. I see a journey that begins with entering into that intimate relationship with God, with embracing God the Father. Entering into that relationship with God, it's a safe relationship. That you're safe in the hands of God. You're safe enough, to be completely honest. You're safe enough to actually share with God exactly how you're feeling. I believe that's a word for somebody today. That it's a safe relationship. Maybe you've never been in a safe relationship. Your relationship with God is a safe place. It's a safe space. You can be honest with your Father. And yes, we don't always receive the answers. Quite often we do have to wait. But we trust that he's working while we're waiting. And as you trust in him, and as you develop that up-close and personal relationship with him, he changes that sadness and those tears into joy. And a heart that overflows with joy can't help but want to praise him. You can't. For even though it hurts, I'll praise him. Even though it hurts. You know, one commentator of this book says that it begins with a question mark and it ends with an exclamation mark. And I like that illustration. It highlights that Habakkuk, and not only him, but us today, we do struggle with the complexities of life and the questions about the world, don't we? However, the truth is we do have a loving Father. A loving Father who welcomes our prayers. So as we come to the end of our time today, because time is running out, as we close this book today, which begins with a question mark and ends with an exclamation mark, I want to leave it this way. It begins in the valley, but it ends in the mountaintop. I'm just going to ask Victoria and Gabriella to come and get ready. They're going to sing for you today just as I close up just now. They're going to sing a song that's called Even Though It Hurts. But if you find yourself this morning in the valley, in a dry season, can I encourage you today to take a walk in the garden with your Father? Turn to God, the God of your salvation. And if he's not the God of your salvation, then get to know him as the God of your salvation. And allow that sadness and those tears to be turned into joy, for he will take you deeper. Let me end with the prophet's words. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes me as sure-footed as a deer, able to tread upon the heights. Turn to your Father today. Turn to Daddy. Trust that he'll lift you up. Trust that he'll elevate you. Trust that he will take you higher up that mountain and turn your sadness into joy, even though it hurts. I will praise him. Thank you, girls.